Today's daf is Menachos daf Pei Hei. We left off in daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. So we were discussing yesterday the idea of bringing bikurim from less than the choicest fruits and what the halach is, whether that even has the status of bikurim or not. So in the top of the page on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara had said that bikurim is only from the choicest fruits, and Ula took it to the next step and said that it's not even kosher if it's brought from lesser produce. That Ula said it doesn't even have a status of bikurim. And then toward the bottom of the Amud, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, where Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Ula based on the pasuk of me'artzucha v'lo kal artzucha, that which is not from the best produce doesn't even have the status of bikurim. But Reish Lakish holds that second-rate fruits for bikurim should be just like a weak animal for a karban, where it's certainly not nice, it's not the best thing to do, but it's still going to have the status of kedusha of a karban. So second-rate fruits that you bring as bikurim will have the status as bikurim. So that's the machlokas from Yochanan Reish Lakish. So we left off at Tani Chada, 5 lines before the end of the page. So it says in Gemara Tani Chada, we have one brisa that teaches us shebegag v'shebechorba shebeatzus v'shebesvina mevi v'korei, that those fruits that grow on a roof or in a churva or in a flower pot or on a boat, you bring the bikurim and you'd actually read the parshas bikurim as well. V'tani idach, we have another brisa that says mevi v'einu korei. No, you would bring bikurim from these places, but you wouldn't be korei parshas bikurim. Now the assumption is that these places are not going to produce the best fruits. Remember, on the top of the page we said tamarim shebaharim peiro shebaamakim. In certain locations they grow lesser level fruits. So presumably, if that's true of fruits that grow on mountains and in valleys, it's certainly going to be true of fruits that grow in a boat or on a rooftop. So the assumption is that these are lesser fruits. But nevertheless, we have two brises. One of them, they both say you bring bikurim. Question is, are you korei or not? So Bishlam Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, who holds that second-rate fruits still have kedushas bikurim and you would still bring them. So I understand that we can answer this stira between these two brises. Not going to be a problem at all. Gaga gaglo kasha. The stira in terms of roofs is not a kasha. Habagag de ma'ara. Habagag de bayis. It depends what it's a gag of, the roof of what. If it's the roof of a cave or the roof of a bayis, that's going to determine whether you're mevi v'korei or mevi ve'eno korei. Because again, Reish Lakish holds, even if it is second-rate fruits, it's still going to have kedushas bikurim. So both prices are going to work, and you just have to come up with some sort of chilek between two different types of roofs. Churva, churva lo kasha, and also the stira within churva is also not a kasha. Kan b'churva avuda, kan b'churva shein avuda. It depends whether you're talking about a churva that has been that has been worked in the past, or a churva that has not been pre-worked. Atzitza atzitz lo kasha, and the flower pots, the stira in the flower pots, not a stira either. Kan b'nukuva, kan b'sheinu nukuva. Depends if it has a hole in the bottom of it, or if it doesn't have a hole in the bottom of it. If it has a hole in the bottom of it, obviously it's much more connected to the ground, and it's much more like something that just grows in the ground. Svina svina lo kasha, and svina svina, the stira with the boats, is also not a stira. Kan b'svina shel etz, kan b'svina shel cheres. It depends what the boat is made out of, whether the boat is made out of eight, so the boat is made out of cheres. Rashi writes, Svina shel cheres is mevi v'korei, mishum deshel eretzi. That Svina shel cheres is really just ground. It's the same as dirt. So Svina shel cheres, you'd be mevi v'korei. Whereas eight is not the same as the dirt, so by shel eight, you would not be mevi v'korei. So, That's how Rashi understands it. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like the pshat of Rashi, and he asks on Rashi based on the Gemara in Gittin Chafal from the Beis. The Gemara in Gittin talks about writing a get that you're not supposed to write a get, and that which is mechuber lekarka. You have to write a get v'nasan biyada. You have to be able to give it, so it has to be something that's talush from the karka. So the Gemara in Gittin Chafal from the Beis says that if you write on a cheres shel atzitz nakuv, so the Gemara over there says that in order to write on cheres, it has to, and for cheres to be considered part of the karka, rather, it has to be nakuv. It talks about writing on cheres of atzitz nakuv. It needs to have a hole in the bottom. So how could Rashi say that a svina shel cheres, doesn't need to be nakut, that a svina shel cheres is not going to require nekiva. That's how Rashi writes. So that's the kasha that the Rabbeinu Tam has on Rashi. That if he says cheres is just part of the ground, memela it's part of the ground, so it doesn't require any nekiva. But in the Gemara in Gittin, it says that in order for cheres to be considered part of the ground, it has to be cheres that's nakut. So as Fasemis writes, that it seems that it's only by a svina that's omid b'mayim that Rashi says that if it's made out of cheres, where the water is mechalchelim b'cheres, that it doesn't need nekiva, where the water is moistening the cheres and penetrates the cheres, that's where it doesn't need nekiva. It's dafka by a boat, but by a pot, by an atzitz, even Rashi is moda that in order for cheres to be considered part of the ground, it needs a nekev, it needs a nekiva. And so you have to say that way, that there's a chiluk between a boat and a flower pot. Because why isn't the Gemara Miyashiv the stira in the atzitz, with the same way it's Miyashiv the stira in the boat? Say, kan bishal cheres, kan bishal eitz. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't answer the stira that way, it says by the atzitz, it says kan b'nekuva, kan b'she'eno nekuva, and yet when it comes to the boat, it says kan b'shel cheres, kan b'shel eitz. Sounds like the answer of shel cheres, shel eitz would not have worked for the atzitz. Why not? Because even shel cheres by an atzitz would need to be nakuv. So that's the so that's why the Gemara didn't give that answer when it came to the atzitz, because an atzitz and a boat are fundamentally different from each other. So Rabbeinu Tam, for his part, explains that we're talking about that where you made a nekev in the svina, and the water is not coming into it because there's some sort of dirt that's stuck to it and closes up that nekev. So by svina shel cheres, the nekev works, as opposed to svina shel eitz, the nekev doesn't work. So unlike Rashi, you said that we're talking about where there's no nekev, and a svina shel cheres automatically becomes part of the ground even without a hole. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, we're talking about where there is a hole, and by svina shel cheres, the nekev will work to make it part of the ground. Whereas svina shel eitz, even with the nekev, it doesn't become part of the ground. So that's the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, but anyway, all of this is only according to Reish Lakish, who says that when you have less than the choicest produce, that can work as bikurim. So we can answer all of these stiras. Rabbi Yochanan kasha, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't work out so well. Rabbi Yochanan said, lo kidesh. So what's he going to do with these two brises, which both say that you're maybe bikurim? How's he going to answer these stiras? So the Gemara answers, tanoihi. It's in fact a machlokas tanoim, detanya shabagag v'shabachurva, mevi v'korei shabatzis shabasvina, eno mevi kol ikr. That which grows in nuts and svina, you don't bring it at all. Forget about mevi v'enu kori. You won't even bring it at all. So if you look at Rashi, tanoihi, di'ika tana damar shabatz shabasvina, eno mevi, v'uadin, l'tamarim shabaharim, shabamakim. And the same would be true for that which grows in the mountains and in the valleys. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ki Tana. Rabbi Yochanan is simply aligning himself with this Tana, that if it's true that you're Eino Mevi Kol Iker on that which grows in the Atzitz and in the Svina, so you're also going to be Eino Mevi Kol Iker on that which grows in the Harim and the Bekaos. That's how Rabbi Yochanan would hold. So Rabbi Yochanan is not against all of the Tanaim. Say Nachinami, I think what we're saying is that Rabbi Yochanan could not answer the Brisa, the two Brisas within his own Shita. He's going to have to say, I'm holding like Tanaim that disagree with these brises. Fine. And then we had mentioned in the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah in the Perek, that when you bring karbanos, you have to always bring mina muvchar from the choicest. And the Mishnah gave examples of where you could find the best soles, where you could find the top notch materials. So says the Gemara, Amri le Yochna umamra lemosha, Yochna and Mamra, who Rashi identifies as the Rashi Mechashvim Shel Mitzrayim, the chief sorcerers of Egypt, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu started to make all of the miracles, as soon as he started to show all of the osos to Paro that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent him, and it looked like Moshe was just a really good magician, so the two chief magicians of Mitzrayim said to Moshe, Teven atomachnis la Ephraim. What are you bringing Teven? Are you bringing straw into Ephraim, which is the place with the most straw? Meaning, what are you doing over here? You're gonna come show off your magic skills in Mitzrayim. This is we own these skills. We're dominant in this area. This is something that we're so great at. You're not gonna impress anybody here with that. If you look at Rashi, Teven atomachnis la Ephraim shu makom harbe tavua ata maybe lisham tavua limkar. A place that has so much grain, you're going to go there to sell grain. You're going to come to a place that's full of kishuf and show off about your kishuf. Samar lahu, Moshe Rabbeinu responded, in a place where they sell, where they grow a lot of vegetables, that's where you should go take your vegetables to sell. Rashi explains why. Because if everyone knows, if you want yarek, you go to the place where they grow yarek. If you want yarekos, you go to the place where they grow yarekos. And therefore, if you have yarekos to sell, it's a good idea to bring to the place where they have a lot of it. Now, what is this really? Does this really respond to what he was actually doing? He was a shliach Hashem. He was doing things that were much more important. There was no svara. He was just Neved Hashem, doing exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu told him. But Rashi again says over here, similar to what we had before, that they said to him divrei letzanus, so he responded to them divrei letzanus. Very similar to the conversation we had before with trying to prove that it's mimachras Hashabbos when dealing with the tzedukim, and how they said that Moshe Rabbeinu was just an Oev Yisrael, and he wanted us to have a long weekend, and then remember that whole conversation. So Rashi, the Gemara doesn't say it over here. Rashi says it over there. Moshe Rabbeinu was just being meshiv with their own litzanas. This idea that Moshe Rabbeinu says, though, is true. Meaning, it is true that lemasa yarka yarka shkol, in the sense that there is a discussion in the poskim about yorid l'umnaso shel chavero. Let's say you have a pizza shop that opens up. I remember in this neighborhood when I was a child, we had Sabra's Pizza, was the pizza shop that everyone always went to. And then Shula's opened up down the block, and everyone said, this neighborhood can't handle two pizza shops. Now we have whatever it is, six. So this there's not, and how they're going to put them out of business, and there were fights about it, what's going to be. So when you have multiple stores, so there's a serious issue of yorid l'umnaso shel chavero. Can I open up a competing store to somebody else right down the block from them? Is that a problem of taking away their livelihood? But one of the considerations that the poskim have in the sugya of yorid l'umnaso shel chavero is that sometimes it's beneficial to have, not by pizza shops, but sometimes it's beneficial to have all of the stores of a certain type in a given area. For instance, a jeweler in the diamond district does better than a jeweler outside of the diamond district, because when people want diamonds, they know that they go to the diamond district. That's where you go. So that's the svara Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. Lemasa yarka, yarka shekol. It works sometimes that way with shuls. People move to Jewish neighborhoods if they know that they have a lot of options. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. It's a very sensitive thing. Okay, anyway. So it says the Mishnah, Ein mevi'in lo mibeis hazvalim v'lo mibeis hashlachim. You're not supposed to bring from the beis hazvalim, from fertilized fields, nor from beis hashlachim, from irrigated fields, v'lomi beis ha'ilan, nor from fields that have trees in it. V'im hevi kasher. So why are you not supposed to bring from these places? So beis hazvalim is a discussion in the Rishonim over here. Rashi has two deos and the Rambam has a deya. One day in Rashi is that beis hazvalim is a field that requires manure to fertilize it, and we're afraid that maybe it wasn't as davel called tzarcha, and the peros are going to be weak. That since it needs a lot of upkeep, if you weren't very careful in how you cared and for that field, so it could be that the peros that the field produces are not going to be up to par. Rashi also quotes another idea that beis hazvalim means a sadash mezavlim osa uksha zevel mavish tama peros miskalkalin. That sometimes when you put the zevel in it, when you put the manure in the field, as when it turns bad, it ruins the taste of the fruits. So that's another consideration with the beis hazevel. The Rambam says that you don't bring menachos from chitim hatzomchim ba'ashpasos. Beis hazevel sounds like not a field that you have to that you have to fertilize. He sounds like it's like a garbage dump. It's something that's growing in a garbage dump. If there happens to be some grain growing in a garbage dump, you don't take that grain and go bring, probably just because it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to bring from a place like that, and nor from a beis hashlachim. You're not supposed to bring from an irrigated field either. And nor from Beis Ha'ilan. So what's the issue with the Beis Ha'ilan? So Rashi says, the two deos over here, in the Rashi on the top, and the Rashi in the Ksav Yad. When it comes to the Beis Ha'ilan, Rashi writes, on the top, L'fisha Ilanos Osum Latzel, Vein HaTavua Gad L'Yafa. What happens is trees provide shade, and when trees provide shade, it doesn't grow properly. The produce is not going to grow properly, it needs sunlight. And Rashi in the Ksav Yad says, no, Mitvua Shebeina Ilanos, Mireisha Ilanos yonkim esakarko machishim esazraim. The ilanos are very powerful and require and diminish the nutrients for everything else that's growing there to be able to take. The ilanos are going to draw in all of the nutrients of the field. So that's why mibesa ilan you're not supposed to take. Why not besa shlachim? Rashi doesn't explain. None of the rishonim really talk about it. Probably because it's obvious. An irrigated field requires a lot of care. It requires you have to be very careful to make sure that it gets enough water, so the concern is that if it doesn't, then it's going to be weak, because you don't have any guarantee that it was cared for properly to the point that the peros are going to be strong peros. So Ketzaruosa, what do you do? Nara shana rishona, you plow the field the first year, ubashana shnia zora kodem lepesach shivim yom, and in the second year you plant the field 70 days before Pesach, vuosa solas meruba, and it will produce a lot of solas. Ketzad bodek ha-gizbar, how does the gizbar check to know that there's no dirt stuck in the soles? So machnas yado l'tochan, he sticks his hand into the flower. Alaba avak, if some dust comes up on his hand, psula, then it's pasul, ad shein afena, until you sift it again. V'mitlia psula, and if it turned wormy, then it's going to be pasul. So it says the Gemara, ketzadosa, what do you do? Nara shana rishona, you plow it the first year. So how do you read that next line? We said clearly you're plowing it the first year. Is it nara shana rishona ubashana shnia? You plow it the first year and the second year, and then zarukodim pesach shivim yom, and then in the second year you, or is it nara shana rishona kama, the way I read it first, that you plow it the first year, ubashana shnia zarukodim pesach shivim yom, and in the second year you zareh, but you're not plowing it the second year? So yibayilu hechi kamar, what does the Mishnah mean to say nara shana rishona ushnia nara vizora? Is it that you plow it the first year and the second year you plow it and plant it? Adilma nara shana rishona ushnia zara below nara, but in the second year you zareya without nara. So Tashima, the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from a brisa. Titania Amar Rabbi Yossi, af chiti karzim v'kfar achim il mali smuchos Yerushalayim hayu mevi'in mehen. Chiti karzim and kfar achim il mali, that they were samach to Yerushalayim, you would bring from them. What does il mali, they were samach to Yerushalayim, mean? So Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam explain that you don't bring the Karban Omer from Chiti Karzayim and Kfar Achim because they're samach to Yerushalayim, and therefore they're in valleys that are between mountains. Day after Yom Yerushalayim, we talk about the surrounding areas of Yerushalayim. Okay, no, whatever. So it's the valleys are around the area. So it's the valleys that are near the mountains that are Bein Aharim, and therefore you can't bring it to him. So Ilmali means because they are Samach to Yerushalayim. But had it not been for that, we would have been able to bring from them, because they have other qualities, because they're mudramos, they're fields with exposure to the sun on the southern side, which is helpful because it gets more sunlight that way. So we would have been able to bring to them had not been for the fact that they were so close to Yerushalayim. Karen Ora writes that from Tosus it sounds like he explains the exact opposite, that these places were not samach to Yerushalayim at all, and if they were samach to Yerushalayim, we would have been mevi mehem. It's only because they're far from Yerushalayim that we're not mevi from them, because we learned before the mitzvah omer laviyom in akarov, that you're supposed to bring the omer from nearby places. Lo biker akarov liYerushalayim avino so mikol makom. The Mishnah had said on samach dalad amud beis that it's only if the grain are not ready from the fields that are near Yerushalayim, that's when you go to bring from further away. So that's which the Gemara says, v'she'en v'vinus omer elemen amadramos, that means bedramos shal Yerushalayim usmuchim la, that it has to be dafka from close to Yerushalayim, not from far away to Yerushalayim. So it's interesting, according to Rashi, there is a Tosos Maseches Megillah, Dafchav Aleph, that discusses the word Ilmalei, and says that sometimes the word Ilmalei has an Aleph at the end, and sometimes it has a Yud at the end. And depending on what it has, whether it's spelled with an Aleph or it's spelled with a Yud, that would determine what it means. Does it mean if only or if not? Does it mean if yes or if not? So the Achronim will point out over here that according to Rashi, you have to be Goreis Ilmale with an Aleph, which means Im lo hayu smuchos kol kach li Yerushalayim hayu mevim em esa omer, that if not for the fact that they were so close to Yerushalayim, we would have brought the Karban Omer from that. According to Tosfos, it's Ilmale with a Yud, and we're saying if they would have been Samech to Yerushalayim, then we would have brought the Karban Omer from them. So that's what the Brisa is saying. But anyway, what are we trying to prove? We're trying to figure out, during the second year, do you plow or do you not plow? So we haven't gotten to that point of the Brisa yet. I just got a little sidetracked there. So back in the Brisa. So the Brisa says there are these places that if they were, or perhaps were not, close to Yerushalayim, they would bring the carbon from them. You only bring the carbon omer from the fields that are mudramos, that are in the south, and that had been plowed. Shebehen chamazorachas, mehen chamashokas, because those which are in the south, the sun shines on it and the sun sets near it, so that so it gets maximum exposure to the sun, maximum sunlight. Ketzadosa, what do you do? So here's the part of the brisa that's going to be megala to us, our shaila. Nara shana rishona, vishnia choresh, vishona, vizora, kodim lepesach shivim yom kdeish shetei smucha lechama. So over here, it's pretty explicit that you plow it the second year as well. Va'osakana zeres v'shibolas rasayim, and then it will produce a stalk that's a zeres, that's as big as a zeres, and shibolas, that's rasayim, that's as big as two zerasos. So v'kotzer ma'amer v'dash v'zoru bar v'tochen m'rakid. Then you do all lametas melachos, not all lametas, but you do a whole series of the melachos. Umevi yitzal gizbar, and you bring it to the gizbar. V'gizbar machnas yad l'tocha, and the gizbar sticks his hand inside of it. Im also ba'avak, and if dust comes up on his hand, omelo chazar v'nafalos ashniya. He'll say you have to go be nofit again. Mishum Rabbi Nosra Omer gizbar soch yado shemen umachnas l'socha ad shemala kol avaka. And Rabbi Nosra says that the gizbar would actually moisten his hands with oil before he stuck his hands in, so that the dirt, any dirt that's there, would adhere to his hands, because when his hands have oil on them, it will cause things to stick. Katani miyas. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, what does it say? Choresh v'shona. That you should be choresh v'shona. So that you're choresh again the second time. So it sounds like there were nara af b'shnia, which is exactly what our question was in our Mishnah. In the second year, were they also going to plow it? So it says, wait a second. You can't bring a raya from that brisa, because that brisa l'tameich masnisan lo katani shona. Our Mishnah never said anything about shona. So that word in the brisa sounds like that there was that you did something twice, that you were nara b'shnia twice, two times in the same year. So anyway, that's clearly against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only said you do it once, maybe once each year, but only once. So Brisa Katani Shona, the Brisa says that you would do it twice. So it says, Halo Kasha, that's not really so troubling. Kan ba'avuda, kan b'she'en avuda. It may depend on what happened previously with that field. Was the field avuda or was it ena avuda? Was it worked previously or was it not worked previously? Now, very important, if you look at Rashi, where's the Gemara holding right now? Now that we've been able to explain why it says shona, does that mean the Brisa is now back to being a good raya that the Mishnah means you plow it twice, or are we back being stuck? So Rashi explains over here on the top. Halo kasha, masnisin dektani nara shana rishona. V'lo katani v'shona. The Mishnah that doesn't say v'shona, hainu shekvar isa avuda. The Mishnah is talking about where it was already avuda. Shon rishona v'achshav nochali gadol yoser, and therefore it's more ready to grow. U'braisa d'ktani chorish v'shona v'zora, hainu mishum shlo isa avuda kodem shon rishona. The braisa that says you would do it twice, that's because it's talking about that nothing happened before the first year. Avu masnisim lo isa avuda, lo yadana im choresh v'shona b'shnia im lo. But in the case of our Mishnah, had it not been avuda, we would not know whether you plow again the second year. Do lo katani lo choresh v'lo shona. Umayavi Allah. It never said what you do in the second year. It just said nara. It said that you plow it the first year. We don't know what you do the second year. All we know is that we've been able to show that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of a field that had been worked previously and therefore doesn't need as much. So what does it mean it doesn't need as much? It doesn't need to go over it twice, or it doesn't even need any plowing at all. in the second year. So we're not sure. We're back to square one, not being sure what our Mishnah means. So that's why the Gemara says, "My Havi Allah." At the end of the day, what do we say about this? What does our Mishnah mean? Does it need to be plowed in the second year? Or does it not need to be plowed in the second year? So Tashma Detanya near Chetzia Vizorei Chetzia near Chetzia Vizorei Chetzia. The Brisa says you would plow half the field and Vizorei half the field, and then flip the following year on the other half. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mavina Saomer. Bottom line is, you see that in the second year there would be Zorea without plowing again, meaning they would flip the part of the field that they plowed last year, they would be Zorea this year. The part of the field that they were Zorea last year, they would plow this year. So they didn't replow the same area over again. Now Rashi interestingly says that why weren't they just Zorea the entire field at once? He says Lufi she'in koach bekarka lihizora kula bekal shana, that karka simply doesn't have the koach, it doesn't have the nutrients to be able to support Zrios every single year, to replant the entire karka every single year. So you don't want to have feast or famine where you're going to have years where none of your karka gets planted, because then those are going to be very rough years for you. So what do you do is you near chetzia v'zareya chetzia, with the obvious exception of the Shemitah year. But that reminds us very much of the Rambam's explanation. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says, and the Rambam tries to give an explanation for all the mitzvahs in the Torah, tries to give Tamei mitzvahs, and he says, the reason for Shemitah is very simple, that it's the karka needs it. The karka needs a rest once in a while in order to replenish its nutrients. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness, not to make it difficult for us, to make it easier for us. So the other Rishon, the Ramban, is not so thrilled with that Rambam. What do you mean it's to make it easier for us? First of all, if you wanted to replenish the nutrients, you wouldn't do it once every 7 years. You would do near chetzi v'zorei chetzi. You would do like the Gemara says. Second of all, what do we need all these guarantees that don't worry, you're still going to make a parnasa, it's okay? What do you mean? If this is just the normal, you know, par for the course, it's just what you normally do, so then what's the big leap of emunah over here to observe Shemitah? But anyway, this comment of Rashi is very reminiscent of the Rambam Shita in terms of how Shemitah works, or why Shemitah is. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mavina Saomer El Min Asadus Hamudramel Sheberetz Yisrael Shebehen Chama Zorachas Mehen Chama Shokaas. We only bring from fields, we only bring the Korban Omer from fields that are exposed on the southern side in Eretz Yisrael, because that's where you get the most sunlight. Tanya Nami Hachi Abishol Omer Omer Hoibam Bikas Space Makla. Abishol said they used to bring the Omer from Bikas Space Makla. Kibas Gimel Se'in Haisa, and it was a field that produced in a year 3 se'in of grain, which is what you needed in order to sift it down to get the amount that you needed, the yisar that you needed for the Korban Omer. V'sadu Mudramas Haisa, and it was a field that was Mudramas, that had that was exposed on the southern side. Uba Chamas Rachas and Menach Chamas Shokas, and that had the most sunlight. Near Chetziv Zareh Chetziv, near Chetziv Zareh Chetziv, and you'd go through this process of plowing half, planting half, plowing half, planting half. Rabbi Chilke Bartuvi Havalei Karna Da'ara. Rabbi Chilke Bartuvi had a piece of land near Chetziv Zareh Chetziv, and he followed this advice of Chazal of plowing half, planting half, and then flipping the following year near Chetziv Zareh Chetziv. Va'avdal Chatrei, and it doubled the output of the land. It was just unbelievable what the land produced when you follow this advice of giving the land enough rest. Meaning, it's at some point it seems counterintuitive. I'm not going to plant this field and that's going to be better for it. I'm going to get more by doing less. But sometimes the long-term view, yes, you will get more by doing less. Umazmulu luchiti l'smida. And he would sell his chitim. I'm not sure what l'smida means. I don't know, but he would sell. He'd make a lot of money on his wheat. Okay, so v'im hitliya psula. And then the Mishnah had said that if it gets wormy, then it's possible. So Tana Rabbanan, solus shetliya ruba psula. If the majority of the solus becomes wormy, so it's possible. V'chitin shetliya ruba psula. If the majority of the wheat becomes wormy, it's possible. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, berov chita or berov sa'a. What does it mean, the majority of the wheat? Does it mean each piece of wheat has to be majority spoiling, or does it mean the majority of the wheat in the sa'a has to be spoiling? So take who the Gemara leaves it unresolved.
So by Rava, Hikdishan Maushe Yilak Alei Mishum Balmum. What if you're Makdish wheat that's turning wormy? Do you get Malkus for being Makdish a Balmum? Kivin to Pasul ke Balmum Dami? Do we say since it's Pasul has a din of a Balmum, just like a carbon that's a Balmum, you get Malkus for being Makdish a carbon that's a Balmum? So here as well. Odilma ain Balmum el Behemor. Do you say no? Balmum? Balmum is something that's Shaykh to a Behema. What's Balmum Shaykh to agriculture, to things that grow from the ground? Not so crazy. The Rishonim certainly, and the Gemara even, when it talks about Esrog, talks about Trefos, talks about Simani Trefos in an Esrog. Sometimes they do have parallels between various Mumin and even Psuli Trefa between the animal world and the plant world. So anyway, but that's the Shaila, is the Shaykh to talk about Balmum when it comes to Behema. So Gemara says, Teiku, we're not sure if you get Malkus on account of Balmum. Now when it comes to Balmum, there are five separate Yisurim in the Torah about a Balmum. Number one, there's nisr not to be maktish a balmum. Number two, there's nisr not to be shochein a balmum. Number three, there's nisr not to be zorik the dam of a balmum on the mizbeach. Number four, there's nisr not to be maktir the emurim of a balmum on the mizbeach. And then there's a fifth nisr not to be maktir miktsas emurav al gabei mizbeach. So Tosin Yomer in Mesechus Yoma writes that we could say that only when you're Makdash, the Shaila of the Gemara over here is only about that first Isser, about being Makdash Balmum, but not about the Kmitza that you take from the Kar Mincha and then you then Maktir on the Mizbech. That's Pashut according to the Gemara, that you're not going to be Locus, says Tosos in Mesechus Yoma. It's Pashut that you're not going to get the Malkus for being Maktir Balmum by taking the Komets and being Maktir the Komets. The whole Shaila is only on the issue of being Makdash the Balmum. Mishnah Melech says that it could be that it's Lav Dafka that it says Hikdishan. It could be that the Suffolk of Rava is also about the other Lavim that you have by a Behemoth Balmum, like the Isra of Haktar of a Balmum, whether that's Noeg by a Korban Mincha or not. He just says Hikdishan because that's the Tchilas Isser. So that's the Machlokas. Tosos and Yuma thinks, no, it says Hikdishan. So that's the only case of by grain that you would have a Shaila about whether Balmum is a problem. Whereas Mishnah Melech says, no, it says Hikdishan because that's the first step in the process. But really, the suffix is about any part of doing any part of the Karban Mincha with a Balmum. The Shaila is the same Shaila. The suffix would be the same suffix, says the Mishnah Melech. The Karen Ora writes, the reason Rava Dafka spoke about the Yisra of HaKadosh's Balmum and not the other Yisurim is because the Mincha only becomes Kadosh through Kiddush B'Kli, by putting in a Kli Sharis first. And if that's the case, when it's Metula'as, the Kli is not Mekadish at all. And therefore, being Makter, you're not being Maktir Balmum, you're being Maktir Chulin on the Mizbeach, where the Isurim of Balei Mum don't apply to Chulin. But the Isur being Maktish Balmum is Shaykh, even if you're Maktish it Ledamav, even if you don't give a Kedush Saguf. So that's why it's only Shaykh to even apply the Isur of Balmum to the Hektish of grains. It's not Shaykh to apply it to the later steps, because it's never going to be able to have Kedush Saguf. If it was already wormy by the time you put it in the Kli, it's never going to be able to have Kedusha Saguf. There is a major discussion over here about getting Malkus on this Isser in general. The Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Resh Pehe says, by the Isser of being Maktish Balmum, he says, Over Alav Zem in Adin Nirish Shalo Yebo Malkus Lefishen Bo Maisa. How are you Maktish something? You say, I hereby declare that this is Hegdish. That's it. That's a lav shein bo maisa. So you shouldn't get malchus on it. But he writes, Sefer Achinuch, unbelievable, Zashon is avol re'isi la'rambam zichrono levracha, shekosav sha'makdish balmum loke. But I've seen that the Rambam writes in the first parak of Yisurim Mizbeach that if you're makdish balmum, you do get malchus. V'ulai yaseu k'meimir sheyesh bo malchus, v'af pi shein bo maisa, shezevazeh hektishu. Maybe he treats it like tmura, where you would get malchus. Because in both cases, the Isser is one of being makdish that which you shouldn't be makdish. V'ilu nishma v'elov nishma v'tora nevakesh mipiyu ki malach Hashem tzvakosu. Sefer Achinuch says, in case you don't know who the Rambam is, we have to listen to him because he was a malach Hashem tzvakos, and he's always right. So therefore, we're gonna listen to the Rambam on this issue. But that leads to a major discussion in the Achronim. What about the problem that it's a lav she'en bo maisa? Is this exactly like tamura? So by tamura, they explain, no, you get malchus because al yidei dibur nasa maisa. Maisa was done al yidei dibur. Dibur. Can you say the same thing over here? Can you say the same thing by being Maktish Balmum? So that's a major discussion. The Stipler in Tamur and Simon Beis has a major discussion about it. We don't have time for it right now. Tananasam Vaita. We have a Mishnah. Kal Eitz Nimtzabot Talas Pasul. Any Eitz, any piece of wood that you find a worm in it, is Pasul Gabi Mizbech, cannot be used from Mizbech. Amr Shmuel Loshanu Elalach. Aval Yavesh Gar Rav Kasha. That's only if it's moist, but if it's dry, just take out the worm, scrape it off, and it's kasher. What if you're makdashit? Is it a violation of balmum? Keeping the pasul balmum, damio domain balmum el bebehema. Do we say that since it's pasul, it has a din of balmum? Or do we say, no, there's no din of balmum by a behema, so teku, the Gemara leaves it as a teku. This suffix, if you're makdash something that's hitliya, that's wormy, whether you're over mishum makdash balmum, and you get malchus, is a suffix that the Gemara raises by the flour, the Gemara raises it by eitzim, we just saw. If you violate the issue, the Gemara is also going to raise this by being makdish shemen, kavush and shalot, that's shari b'mayim, that has a reyach ra, bad oil, whether that's a violation of balmum, the Gemara is going to raise this about being makdish yayin, that's pasul, if it's shaykh balmum. So that's what the Rishonim are bothered. Why do we have to rehash the same shayla? Let's take what all of them. Okay, we get it. We get it. The shayla is, does balmum apply outside of the animal kingdom? I understand. Why does it have to raise the shayla over and over again? So the Radvaz in a tshuva, not in the tshuva, I'm sorry, the Radvaz in his on the commentary in the Rambam in Yisurim Mizbeach Perek Vav Halacha Gimel goes through why each one might be a bigger chiddush than the other. But let's go right to the Gemara. Maybe if we have time at the end. Takua alfa l'shemen. Takua is the best place to get shemen. Abashol amar shniya la regev ever yardin. Second best place is regev and ever yardin. Kol haratzos are yutsheros el mikano yimavin. All haratzos are really okay, but that's where they would bring it from. Ein mavin lomi beis hazval lomi beis hashlachim lom min mashen nizra beneim vim hevi kosher. You're not supposed to bring the olive oil from beis hazval and beis hashlachim, right? Fields that get manured, fields that get that are irrigated, and nor from that which is planted in between them. But if you do bring them from there, it's kosher. Ein mavin an paktan v'imhevi kosher. You also don't bring from that which is not totally ripened. And if you do, it's kosher. Ein mavin min agargarin shenashu b'mayim v'lo min akvashim v'lo min ashlukim v'imhevi pasul. You don't bring from soaked olives and from the olive sediment that remains in the soaking water, nor from that which has been soaked or cooked. And if you do, it's going to be puzzle in those situations. So Yoav sent to Tekoa and he took from there an Isha Chachama. So Maishna Tekoa. Why Tekoa? Why, when you're looking for a wise person, would you go to Tekoa? That since they're used to Shemen Zayis, Chachma is very common there. That Shemen Zayis is associated with Chachma. That's why Harotz Lahachkim Yadrim. Where do we, the Gemara Babas says, you want to have Chachma, so you face toward the menorah, toward the south, where the menorah is, where the Shemen Zayis is. That's why the Gemara says that Zayir Biner, having no banim tamidi chacham, the Gemara in Shabbos says a woman who's Zayir Biner, who's careful about her Shemen, is going to have banim tamidi chacham, and there's an association with Shemen Zayis and Chachma. Tan Rabban v'tovel b'shemen raglo, ze chelko shel asher, shemoshech shemen kemayon. That's the chelik of asher, where the oil flows like a spring. Amru, so Gemara tells a story, pamach, zinshukhan anche ladukya b'shemen. One time the people of Ladukya needed oil, minu lahen pulmostos echad, so they appointed a certain pulmostos, a shliach of it, kochavim, Rashi says, a non-Jewish shliach, amr lelech ve'elan shemen b'mei aribo. Bring us a million oil. I don't know what a million, you know, I'm not sure a million what, but bring us a lot. Halach l'Yerushalayim, amr lelech l'tzor. So he went to Yerushalayim to look for it, they said, no, you gotta go to Tzor. Halach l'tzor, amr lelech l'gush chalav. He went to Tzor, they said, no, you gotta go to Gush chalav. Halach l'gush chalav, amr lo, lechet zalploni l'sad alaz. You gotta go to this guy in this field. And he found this guy working in this field, digging around. Do you have all the oil that I need? You have to wait till I finish my work. He waited till he finished his work. After he finished the work, he threw his kelim behind his shoulder and he started removing the rocks as he was walking, removing the rocks from the field. So he's obviously a lowly worker. This isn't going to be a guy that you'd expect to be a very rich man. So Amar lo, Yesh Hashem Meir Ribo, are you sure? Are you the guy that really has enough oil that I need? I think the Jews are mocking me. They're sending me to this poor guy who's Nebuch, a lowly worker, and they want me to get shemen from him. As soon as he got toward the guy's house, so the shivcha of this guy comes out with somehow hot water, v'rachas by yad v'raglav, to wash his hands and feet. Hotzil l'safal shalzav m'lei Hashem, and v'tafal by yad v'raglav. Then she brought out a golden pitcher of oil to dip his hands and feet in. So he sees, obviously this guy is very rich. L'kayim Hashem, v'tafal b'shem raglav. L'achas sha'achl v'shasal madal Hashem m'mei ribo. Afterwards, he measured out all the oil. Amar lo klumat tzarek liyosi. He says, you need any more? Amar lo hein. He said, yeah, el shein lidam, I just don't have enough money. Amar lo matarotz alikach kach, v'ani elich imach v'atol dam. If you want to take, and I'll go with you, and I'll take the money when we deliver it. Madad lo shem b'shmona sariba, amar lo iniach l'so ish l'sus v'l'perv l'gamal v'l'chmar b'aritzol shlo sachro. There wasn't a single moving van that wasn't used to transport all of this oil back to where he came from. Kim shegil yiro yotzu anchi yiro l'kalso. So the people of the city were praising him. You did such a good thing for us. Amar lo likal suni el l'zesh abayim yishamad li shem me'aribo v'arino shebi b'shmona sariba. No, don't thank me. Thank this guy. He gave me an additional amount, 180,000 that I didn't even ask for. And this is a key of that which the pasuk says. There are some people that are misasher, that act rich, but they have nothing. But then misroshesh, there are people that act poor, the honrav, and they have plenty of wealth, and that's what this guy really is.